Oh no no, oh no no, it's another episode of the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. You've entered the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker.
Hey, you've just entered the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. If you've come for actual legal advice, you need to turn right around, honey. You need to get out of here, because you ain't going to get none of that. They quibble, and they squabble, and they bicker. But if you want to hear meaningless opinions, this is the right place. They got plenty of that. Stuff that makes no sense at all. They go off on tangents. It's crazy talk. If that's your thing, keep listening. They'll keep talking.
Yay!
Welcome back to the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker on this December 16th. 2020, the Electoral College has voted Biden's president, and Trump still disagrees, and everybody's on the right is trying to figure out where their loyalty should lie. Quite fascinating. So that being the case, it ties in perfectly with our client for today, and our client is social media distancing. So I think, Brendan, since I think you were instrumental in kind of getting this client, why don't you take the lead on this one?
Well, yeah, thanks. This is a client that obviously a lot of people have courted. But the truth is, you know, the real story with this client is, where is this all heading? And what does it all mean? And, you know, these platforms have become, social media has become such an integral part of our life that, you can't really put the genie back in the box necessarily. But I think that it's causing some irreparable harm to society and people and personally in general.
Just to digress a second, because I do. the fact that you have a genie in a box, for me, just changes the whole history of genies. And I think
The genies that were in the boxes were a different sort of genies than the ones that were in the lamp.
Uh-huh.
They were a little more
discount.
Yeah, they were a little more discount. They were a little more
discount
like
genies.
You know, you rub the box and the genie pops out.
It gives you like three fake watches instead of wishes.
Yeah, they were Costco genies.
It's like, hey there, I'm your low rent genie. I'm in a little, it's like a cigar box, maybe. You rub the cigar box and you get the genie.
The high end box genies would be in a cigar box, but you know, maybe low rent ones that were more in like in a shoe box.
I think high end box genies is a perfect name for a band. But anyway,
I used to think that social media was bad just because I saw these young kids ignoring their friends instead of like actually talking to people in person. They'd be sitting next to someone or walking down the street looking at their phones. And I'm like, you have a living, breathing person right here, your friend, chat with them. That's why you're hanging out, I assume. But it's gone so far beyond that with, it seems like what everyone's talking about, like such documentaries like A Social Dilemma, where it just has led to this divisiveness where people are talking about civil war for the first time in 150 years. Like people are actually saying, oh, we don't know what'll happen after this election, where there's two separate Americas, because social media has basically catered to two separate people, people with different opinions, and they have different realities. You can't even explain things to the other side. You can't say, this is how I see it. They're like, no, that's not true. That's an alternate reality. So it's something's weird going on. And I haven't been able to quite put my finger on it, though that movie, A Social Dilemma, really kind of coalesces all the fears I've had. And you realize, yeah, we're fucked.
I think you summed it up quite clearly when you said there's two different realities. I mean, there's obviously a number of different realities that are going on, but you're absolutely correct. There's like this serious disconnect between people on either side of the political spectrum, you know, where they're getting their information from, who knows where, and it's being, having watched that documentary also, seeing that their information is spoon-fed to them based upon who they're connecting with on social media to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. I mean, you still have your own intelligence. You still have your own thoughts for the most part. I mean, one of the key aspects of that documentary was talking about how you want to influence people to think a different way, like in one, perhaps 1% of the population, if you could get them to think in your direction, you know, that, and start to doing it bit by bit, can that actually happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think Trump was actually an expert at causing that to occur, especially using social media, because he lived on Twitter. And I think if it wasn't for Twitter, I probably wouldn't have the utter distaste for Trump that I wound up having. Before, I didn't respect the guy. I had kind of a bit of contempt for him, you know, but I didn't really care much about him. I didn't really think about him at all. I just thought he was this big egomaniac jerk that he's been in the media since, you know, the early 80s. And then along the way, as he started getting more politically motivated and he started telling these things regarding Obama and getting a little more distasteful and then using that platform. And essentially what happened is he just grabbed the right by the pussy and they liked it. And they decided that they would just take whatever he said as basically gospel and justify any of his negative actions. It's like whatever moral high ground the right had, you know, because they were, you know, the Christian Coalition was part of that and the Christian right, evangelicals, what have you, whatever moral high ground they had is gone based on their support for this guy, right? And it's interesting that they're still considering that he is this prime supporter of theirs, and I think it's just mainly because of one particular issue, which has to do with abortion more than anything else. But I don't want to get into that arena so much, but in terms of social media being a factor in creating this divisiveness, the divisiveness was, I think, there to a large degree, and it has been. You know, if you ever watch those debates between William F. Buckley and Gore Vidal in the early 70s, you know, there was that type of discourse where they kind of wanted to hate each other and kill each other. But and obviously we had a civil war, you know, back in the late 1800s. And I don't think that that specter was ever completely gone, but I think social media fans those flames.
Definitely.
Fans it stronger because of the rapidity in which the data is spread.
You know, what's interesting is they talk about how scientists have looked at how it almost gives you people, I think a lot of younger people especially, dopamine rushes. Like if you take their phone away, they'll be depressed. Like they need this fix of like, oh, did somebody like my latest comment? Did somebody poke me on Facebook? It gives you this little dopamine rush to your brain. It's chemical.
If somebody like poked me on Facebook, it wouldn't be dopamine that'd be rushing to my head. It'd be like, why are you annoying me?
No, some people love that. Some people are like, ooh, someone's thinking of me. Ah, affirmation. I'm not alone in the world.
I think that's
someone's...
just mainly people like you who live alone in an apartment with no
Facebook. I barely do Facebook. I'm not a social media guy at all. Every now and then somebody will link some interesting article or something, but I barely get on it. But I get it. If you are lonely and you don't like being alone, it gives you like, oh, someone's thinking about me. Someone liked something I did. They liked it.
I mean, no, it's not just, you know, relegated to, you know, people living alone in their houses. Holly, my wife, who's by far not more social than I am, has more friends, is out and, you know, doing very social things. I totally observed that, you know, she would comment to me. She's since sort of dialed back on Facebook, but when it was, she was sort of in her Facebook heyday, there would be times, you know, one of the first things she would want to tell me about is how many likes that this post that she had gotten, or who said what in the comments on this post that she had posted. Or so there was definitely an emotional charge that she was getting out of, you know, that type of response on Facebook for sure.
So it's like a visceral thing.
If my wife did that.
It's like a visceral thing.
If my wife did that, I'd divorce her. Just me.
Well, luckily, you're not married, so that's you haven't had to deal with those kinds of compromises in your life.
You would divorce her if they didn't like the brand of whiskey you're drinking.
Probably, yeah.
And like, I've had it with you. Get out.
Yeah.
You don't like what I drink? How dare you even have
it? We had an argument. We had an argument about Urkel. You're gone. I can't live with a woman who doesn't like Urkel.
And then she said, "Did I do that?"
Good callback.
Sorry, I don't even watch, never even watched that show. That's basically all I know of that show is the kid. Although I saw some clips of it in a few months back where apparently the kid like designs like a time machine or something in the middle of that show. I'm like, going, how did this become like a science fiction show? I'm like,
what?
I became a little more interested in finding out about it, but I never actually followed up on that because it still was the whole Urkel thing.
Then there were vampires and...
Were there?
No, I mean,
oh, yeah, I don't think it went there. But it seems like often those things cross over. You have a time machine, you got to kind of throw a vampire in because it's like some alternate timeline that could have been created, and then you're stuck
in that. Alternate gets us back to alternate realities where it's like,
yeah,
that's another thing, a horrible thing in the past 10 years. Like, I thought before I saw that movie a month ago, The Social Dilemma, I actually was like, oh, yeah, this, it seemed like America went batshit when Trump got elected. But he's just a symptom of what's happening for 10 years now, maybe 15, where, like, even if you have concrete proof, this guy did malfeasance, half of them, you know, people live in another reality where they're just like, no, that just didn't happen. It's like, no, here's the proof. Look, here's documents. He said it. No, that just didn't happen. That's not my reality. Like, when Nixon did Watergate, finally enough proof came out, and even his best supporters, some of them, most of them were like, this guy's got to go. He's obviously done something wrong. But look at Trump. Every day he did something that was impeachable and horrible. Well, and his followers loved him even more.
The difference between then and now, the difference between then and now is that the confidence in the media wasn't eroded as much then as it is now. And that was a large part of his doing as well, because he attacked and attacked and attacked and attacked the media. And don't get me wrong, I am no fan of the media. I think they're basically a bed of snakes and vipers and evildoers to a large degree, because they, you know, make their living destroying people's lives for the most part. Not all of them, but most of them. You know, that's where like they get their kudos, is like, this is my biggest expose, and this guy is now like worthless to humanity. They do great work whenever they do investigate people who legitimately are committing crimes. You know,
that's what they usually do. They don't ruin people's lives who are pretty good.
I think you're not.
Let's hound this guy because he jaywalked. They usually go after mafia bosses. You know, those are the big exposés.
I think you've got a rose-colored glasses going on, Greg. But it's okay. That's why you're part of the show.
I have bad vision. I do have bad vision, and I need glasses. But they're not rose-colored, and I think journalism, it does a lot of good, powerful, important stuff, almost like superheroes, to bring back our superhero thing. They've done some superhero stuff where their lives were threatened, but they wanted to tell us the truth, and they brought down powerful, evil men due to their journalism. That's a good thing.
Right, but they've also destroyed lots of lives along the
way. Bad journalists.
Not bad journalists.
If they didn't have the facts.
It's across the board.
If you don't have the facts, you're a bad journalist. Journalists are supposed to, like...
It's also how the facts are presented as well.
True that. And those are bad journalists who are, like, saying, like, oh, I'm going to hound Matt Brachi, a good, decent man.
I think you just have a different concept of what I'm talking about. But that's okay. You know, I mean...
Okay.
I don't want to dissuade you from your own...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Dream, your own illusion. But that's...
And I derailed you from your thought. Continue.
I don't even remember what my thought was anymore.
What you were saying about how the media isn't trusted anymore.
I think journalism provides a reasonably important service in a democracy. I think that while obviously, to Matt's point, yellow journalism and attack pieces and slanted shit exists, and bias and all that.
Yeah, they're terrible.
But, you know, I don't know. On a percentage basis, is that 15%, 20%? I mean, a lot of the stuff that we don't have anymore is, you know, some reporter just down at the city council meeting reporting out what happened. Or, you know, somebody giving a factual breakdown of what this recent tax bill really means to a lot of people.
And that would be real news.
That's what I'm saying. And so I think that, you know, we've no pun intended, sort of trumped up the negative aspects of media, and Trump did that better or more, I don't know if better, but more than anybody else in terms of how unfairly he was characterized, which fed into what you're saying, Matt, which is a lot of people went, yeah, you know, OJ wasn't a bad guy. I don't know. That's a bad example. But, you know, some person that was vilified in the media, they're like, well, yeah, they're taking it out of context. And, you know, that was a different time and place or whatever it was. Johnny Depp was really not a bad guy, but, you know.
Trump was so stupidly transparent about it, though. He obviously thought anyone who criticized him was fake media. And he would laud Fox News and say, you guys are doing great work because you suck up to me. And then when Fox News was slightly critical of him, all of a sudden he was like, ah, even Fox News sucks. Right. And they're bad. Yeah. He's so transparent and in such a dumb way. But it's
created this effect where, you know, people on the right are going, I'm not even going to listen to Fox News anymore. And they're going to these other further right-wing news outlets like OAN.
But those people are very stupid. Those people are very dumb that have no critical faculties. I mean,
you know what? I refuse to accept that characterization because they're not dumb people. Not all.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're stupid.
Well, what I'm saying is that they are actually quite intelligent people who are like running those organizations because they're understanding what they're doing, the understanding what they're creating. I don't think there's stupid people on all sides. You know,
I know
the fact is if we believe everything the media tells us, that makes us stupid too.
It does, but the liberal side, they don't have some network that just crows every talking point, doesn't question like Fox does or OAN.
Yeah, they do. It's called MSNBC.
Oh yeah, they're just so, they don't care about anything except they want the Democrats to win.
Yes, that's true.
I don't think so.
Then you're being silly.
Look at us, we're in alternate realities right now. See what the internet has done.
I kind of agree with them about MSNBC. MSNBC veers far left. They veer that way. They do a lot of promoting.
Far truth. They just
And what have you referred to yourself many times on the show, Greg?
As a pinko Stalinist Maoist.
Right. For you, it doesn't feel that far left.
But even if you were a far left pinko communist, I'd have more respect for you and would hope that you would tune to a different network than MSNBC, because MSNBC is nothing but corporate Democrats. It's blue no matter what. It's, you know, we have to do this, support Nancy Pelosi because God knows the alternative. It is a corporately funded party line.
Yeah, can I give a caveat to my journalism defense? Television news is a whole different thing. All television news, CBS when we were kids, they were owned by Westinghouse, the military contractor. So TV news, I didn't give much credence to. I didn't think, oh, this is good journalism that's helpful to democracy.
Even 60 Minutes?
Print journalism? What?
What about 60 Minutes?
They did some good things where they exposed some bad people, but they still were owned by a corporation where they probably couldn't go too far. I'm sure they were like, nah, you're not going to run that store. Sorry. It's our corporate overlords don't like it. And I'm sure newspapers are owned by very rich people, but there's a tradition in newspapers to just like, we got to print the truth. We're journalism. We like basically adhere to the rules of journalism. We have to get the facts. We can't just print slander. They apologize when they do. Sometimes the New York Times has published things that were wrong. And they on page 3, they'll be like, we're so sorry. This person, we fired him. They were wrong. They were bad journalists. So they try at least. Fox News doesn't give a shit. Fox News doesn't even try. They just spout whatever they want and slant it, you know. And I'm sorry, I don't see that with MSNBC, but because
how many corrections have you heard from MSNBC?
TV news doesn't do that. It's a newspaper thing. I've never heard any news show on TV do that.
I think Dan Rather did once. But I can remember.
I mean, I agree. I mean, TV news is probably the shittiest of all the journalistic forms.
Yeah.
But I think you really need to take an honest look at MSNBC because, you know, you want to shit talk Fox News. I get it. But MSNBC is not that different. It truly isn't. I mean, I can tell you, not that it matters, but, you know, I was involved in Andrew Yang's campaign when he ran for president. This is not to talk about Andrew Yang, but he was certainly not somebody that MSNBC wanted to promote. He would score better points. Andrew Yang definitely got a bad shake. I think Bernie Sanders got a bad shake out of MSNBC.
Oh, yeah.
I think nobody but the, you know, like they would prop up like Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, and they were doing way worse. They were fundraising less. They were their polls were less than Andrew Yang's early on, and yet they never talked about Andrew Yang. In fact, so much so that he refused to go on their network for a while until they apologized, which they did.
Oh, I just see that on Fox. There's full-on lying. Like, I know there's bias in these news. Like, MSNBC was kind of the mainstream Democrat, middle of the road. You know, that's their main demographic. But I didn't see, like, wholesale fantasy lying, like how Fox does about, like, oh, Trump didn't lose the election. There's people, all these far dead people voting. They don't report shit that is crazy. Like, yeah, that shit's crazy.
I'm not trying to compare it. I'm not saying that these two things are, you know, the same thing. I'm just saying that, you know, you're like, it's only the right that has this not, you know, sort of tainted journalism. I'm like,
what more tainted, I guess, where they care even less about journalistic standards, where they're like, we'll just say whatever crazy things we want. Like, Donald Trump is the son of God, or, you know, I don't know, whatever they could say.
I missed that report.
It was a good one.
I bet.
Yeah, I don't think they ever referred to Trump as the Messiah, because they would totally lose their base
if they did. I
remember when Trump said he was the chosen one.
You know, whenever I hear that, I think of Kung Pao, Enter the Fist, with the one character who was called the chosen one.
Right.
And he's running across a field. So I'm just imagining Trump lumbering across a field. Somebody yells out, chosen one! And he goes, I'm coming! Chosen one! I'm coming! Chosen one! And that's Trump. He's the chosen one by the... in this case, I'd say if you really are behind Trump and really appreciate the things that he's done, there is something wrong with you. There's some switch that's turned off, you know? And because I haven't defriended any of my Republican friends throughout Trump's entire election. A few of them have defriended me on Facebook, but I haven't defriended them because I've been trying to really understand, you know, what is it about them and what is it about that guy that causes them to be so far behind them. And really, I think it just comes down to money. You know, I think they admire people who have made a lot of money, and because he was building making better statistics regarding unemployment and the stock market was rising, that's the thing that they consider more important than humanity and compassion for one's fellow man. In other words, and treating people kindly and nicely. And I think that's where the real disconnect comes from. And it's like, I've got this one, I got a nephew who's apparently been reading a lot of Breitbart. And I'm like constantly just trying to get him to see something differently. He's a little bit autistic. Well, he's a lot autistic. But still, you know, if you're autistic, you can still have rational thoughts.
Hence the Breitbart.
Right, you know, and so it's just, I've been having, he was just, there was just something that came out of one of those, I think it was Breitbart or some other, no, it was some other company, but I can't remember the name of it, there was an African-American church that had a Black Lives Matter sign on it, and a group of Proud Boys had pulled it off and burned it. And the pastor, who was an African-American pastor, said it was reminiscent of, you know, the cross burnings of the KKK, you know, which he's entitled to feel that way, and I can understand why. But the nephew goes, I disagree with the pastor. BLM is a scummy organization. And I'm like, is that the only takeaway you got from this particular thing? You didn't get the whole thing about there's Proud Boys roaming around ripping off signs and burning
vandalizing things.
It's not just vandalizing, it's torching it. It's torching a Black Lives Matter. It's like, what kind of venom is within a person to make them feel they've got to burn that? Like, why is Black Lives Matter so visceral, so hard for some people to just go, oh yeah, their lives do matter and it should be okay? And it's like, why is this an affront to you unless you are secretly or openly a white supremacist, right? Yeah. And I think that's part of the fans that have been flamed with social media, you know? And I think combining the whole election thing with the fact that we've all been social distancing because of the virus, you know, that all we've got is we're all hostages to the news cycle.
if those of us who are like watching those things, because there's not really a whole lot of entertainment you can do at home other than watching lots of movies or watching TV or reading books. And, you know, after a while you get kind of like inundated with it all. And so which you have to decide if you're willing to believe conspiracy theories that are coming out of your friends' mouths. It's like, I thought he was a smart guy, and yet he's now stating the chemtrails are real, you know, or that the Earth is flat, or whatever else, you know.
5G towers.
Right. I mean, hell, freaking 5G towers burned in England because of social media. Torch, yeah. You know. I'm like that kid who went and shot up those guys at the Black Lives Matter, I think it was in Illinois or Chicago or
somewhere. Oh, yeah. Right. I heard about
Wisconsin.
Him.
That probably wouldn't have happened without social media.
No, no, he was organized. I think it was like a Facebook group that he was a part of that was organizing people because he was from Illinois.
Right.
But then they drove into Wisconsin to, you know, do their shenanigans.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was totally organized by.
That's one dangerous thing about social media is that, like, probably every town had some crackpot with some crazy ideas. He probably knew enough to keep his mouth shut because he knew most people would be like, shut up, Otis. You're a nut job.
Otis.
You know, nobody agrees with you. Sorry I picked that name because I'm anti-hillbilly.
I thought you were against elevators.
Because I'm an East Coast elitist.
I thought you're anti-elevator. If you're from New York City, you're definitely against elevators.
Otis.
You know, Otis is the Otis main elevators. Brand of companies that makes elevators.
Oh, sorry. I didn't get
you're
that.
You're from New York. That's reference. Why you don't know. Because it's
don't
not
know.
That obscure. Brendan knew it. He's in
Otis.
Florida.
I never knew who made the elevators I rode on. I never noticed the name.
Often you'll see the brand on the floor if you look down.
Never noticed it, no.
Yeah, well, that company was very well known for making elevators.
But
kind of like the,
you know,
Xerox of elevators.
Yeah, people have talked about this for, you know, since the internet started, is that basically now everyone has validation. So, like, nut job number one in, like, Podunk, Iowa, he had these thoughts that he just thought, oh, I'll keep my mouth shut. Everyone's going to shut me down and say, shut, you're nuts. But, oh, there's a million people all across America and maybe the world who agree with me. I have a community now to validate my stupid beliefs, my insane fucking beliefs. And it validates it. And believe, hey, this is true. Look how many other people agree with me. I'm not just a lone nut.
That happened with the advent of the internet, though. I mean, that happened when the internet started blossoming and the World Wide Web came about and people started finding these dark corners within society and going, oh, I agree with that dark corner. I'm going to go hang out there and we'll see if we can find other people to make our corner darker, you know, and I think
and bigger.
That was before social media, but you could kind of make the case that email was social media in the beginning. Because that was a way to send out mass messages to people and trying to get people attracted to your point of view. And I just remember the spam we used to get in the early days, man, it was some nutty stuff, you know, until the spam filters started coming in and taking that stuff out. And then I think is when the social media started really taking off. I think it was with MySpace probably.
Or Friendster even before that. Remember,
you know,
Friendster?
I had never heard of Friendster until long after I had heard of MySpace. And I never really even thought about going into it. Well, hell, I didn't even want to get into Facebook until my...
You had a social life, Matt. You didn't care.
No, I've never really had a social life, Greg. haven't really had much. I had a little bit of one, but still, you know, I just didn't really do that so much, right? But still, you have people with these certain points of view, and you can find these different groups. Now, apparently, there's secret groups on Facebook too that people will send you messages to join. You know, and I didn't really know this existed until a friend of mine on Facebook said, "Oh, I didn't realize there's secret groups because now I've just joined one, so I can be secret and public at the same time." And I'm like, "Secret groups?" So it makes you wonder, what are these groups that are forming that people don't want anybody else to know about? Now, I can imagine some of them would be like family groups or something like that, you know, where it's just like for the family, you don't need any other people joining in. But then you've got what could be anything. I mean, Antifa probably wouldn't be the thing that it is today if it wasn't for social media.
No. And that's one good thing about social media. Like they talked about what did they call the Egyptian like popular uprising 15 years ago? That something like the Arab Summer or something.
Arab Spring.
Thank you. And a lot, the way they organized so much was through the internet. They were like, okay, we'll meet here.
I think Twitter was the one on that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
Twitter wasn't even a big thing then.
No, I think Twitter was like the catalyst for that era.
So that's the thing. Like, social media could be this great thing. Like, everything. Like, television could have been a great thing. Like, imagine television when it was started. All the great culture of the world could have been presented to us. We could have all been geniuses. Every day there could have been lectures about Dostoevsky. No, people wanted to watch Sergeant Bilko.
Wait a second. Every day there'd be lectures about Dostoevsky. That explains exactly right there why it wouldn't take off.
Exactly. I'm saying, but you'd like to think human beings have a higher nature and strive to be better. But no, we don't. We're just stupid fucks. And we just, so like the internet could be this amazing, enlightening thing. And it is. The information you can find on the internet is still great. That's why it's hard to wean yourself off if you're really terrified of. If you saw Social Dilemma and you're like, oh my God, I got to cut this out of my life. I've had friends who saw that movie and cut their Facebook account and a lot of their social media. But it's still impossible at this point, almost. It seems impossible to cut off the internet entirely, where it's such a wonderful tool, but it's only because there's so many stupid fucking people who like, oh, I read something about the Flat Earth Society. That sounds good. It's like, no, it's just dumb. It's nuts. Just because you read about it and a million people believe in it doesn't mean it's good.
I like seeing the algorithms at work, and that's why probably I'll never cut out of social media, because I like to see why certain things show up on different things that I view that I hadn't talked about with anybody, and yet there they are in a whole different area. Like, I'm like having this thought and suddenly there's an ad for that on Facebook going, oh, I'm like, is that where we are now in terms of technology?
Pretty close.
Actually tapping into my mind. I'm like, this is kind of cool. Frightening. But you know, I look at things at this age, the age I'm at right now, that if the government really wants to control me, if they want to put a chip in me, I'm like, I don't really care because I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not doing anything bad that anybody would want to, well, I guess other than, you know, suggesting that there is a civil war and that's why Facebook shut me out.
Yeah, but what happens when the government turns bad? Then just your good behavior will be targeted because you speak out.
I'm just saying, well, you know, I think that I'll take that chance when that comes. I'll take that risk. You know, I'm willing to push this. I've always been willing to push the boundaries to see, to a certain extent, not full on like rabble rousing, but you know, I've done my share of protests and what have you, and holding picket signs for things in the earlier days of my life. And
blowing now up just, buildings.
Yeah, that was more fun. That's, you know, only if they're shaped like balloons. So, you know. And those are the only kind of buildings I'll blow up are the balloon-shaped buildings, Greg.
What are those? There are buildings that are shaped like balloons? What are you talking about?
Nothing. You just had to bring in a blowing up thing, and so I had to make a stupid joke about it.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
Why. I didn't say it was funny.
Quick enough.
Didn't consider it to be funny. It was just an offhand statement.
If I was 5 years old, that would have been hilarious. I'm sorry.
I think that's now. Really where my jokes are tailored, is to five-year-olds. Like, I'll make some five-year-old. You know, it means something if you can make a five-year-old laugh. They're more.
Not really.
They're more entertaining to see laugh.
That's true. More entertaining, but, you know, most five-year-olds, all you have to do is go.
Yeah, make a fart noise.
And I'm laughing right now, so I'm obviously a five-year-old. So
we're talking about poop.
Poop.
Use the word poop.
Yeah, so do a poop balloon and you got it made.
Balloons. I get it now.
Balloon full of poop.
That's funny.
Just put it outside your door and light it on fire. Anyway, so regarding, I don't even know what I was talking about anymore. I got so distracted by the whole balloon thing that we were talking about.
Oh, I asked you if you were blowing up buildings. Like you said that you do.
Oh, yes. Back in the day. Right. So in terms of me being concerned about the government targeting me, some guy whose life really means nothing to anybody of any importance, I just don't see it happening. I don't see any information coming from me. I'm sure I represent some segment, some marketing segment of the population, you know, guys in their 50s who are fat and who are full of themselves, you know, that particular demographic, you know, they can target to that, you know, but
who generally... Snack foods.
Right, except, you know, now I'm doing the fasting thing. So it'd be for the, like, those who are choosing to not have snack foods.
Yes. So I want to ask you guys, have you ever heard the rumor that even if your phone's, like, kind of off, like, it's not even on, and if you're chatting with a friend, it hears you and will, like, know what you like? Do you know about this?
It's always listening, Greg.
I thought it was a conspiracy theory. I thought it was some nutty thing. But I've had a few times where someone was over my house. My phone was off. I wasn't looking at my phone. It wasn't off, but it was like black screen.
Yeah, that's not off.
And he was talking about his keto diet that he did. I don't know anyone who's on a keto diet. I didn't even know about keto diet. Oh. He was telling me about it.
My wife's doing keto.
The next day, I got junk texts, which I get every day. I get like 5 junk texts a day, 3 junk calls a day. And I got 2 junk calls about like, oh, worried about the new, I tried the keto diet. And I was just like, holy shit, that's weird.
It's correlation, not causation. I mean,
I've never had it before.
I got it.
Just junk calls that are just like, call us back, or, you know, it's like never that specific. It was weird.
Yeah. I'm always waiting to hear you say, hey, Google or Alexa. You know, they're sitting and lying and waiting.
I have Siri.
Siri. Hello, yeah, Siri.
She's my girl.
I don't use Siri. I'm not going to say it. I have an Amazon device.
An Amazon what do you device? Call it? I haven't heard of an Amazon device.
Is his name Hector?
No, Jocelyn? You just said it. Oh, okay, I'll say it, and then it's going to start talking. Echo. I have an Echo. Oh, I have several in my house. I have like 3 or 4 of them, actually.
Why are you seem ashamed of this?
Well, because he said Alexa, because Alexa starts responding if he says it in his office.
Right. So she just said, after I said her name, she's like, I don't seem to know what you're talking about.
Alexa. Alexa.
And she can't hear you, Greg. He's got headphones on.
Okay.
You would have to get him to take the headphones to the device and then talk to the device.
So basically you have like a HAL 9000 in your house? Like,
yeah.
Brendan, yeah. I don't think that would be wise now, Brendan.
It's funny is I don't think of HAL whenever I think of these devices. I think of Fahrenheit 451 because in that book they talk about the screens that you talk to and then turn on whenever they come into the house and that type of thing. Or the Velt, which is the story that was written by Ray Bradbury.
Yeah, the Illustrated Man.
It was in that book, yeah.
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 But yeah, I always said like that's kind of where technology is going, without looking at the nefarious methods of it, because I can't remember I'd have to read 1984 again, because I think there may have been something similar in there as well, where everything's like,
you could talk to the TV screen and they could see you and talk back to you.
Yeah, so I think there we are. Yeah. We're definitely in long past 1984. It just took us like 30 years to get there.
I think we're more Brave New World though. It's like where 1984 got it wrong, even though it's one of my favorite books of all time, but it's like people won't put up with privation. They'll eventually revolt. Brave New World was the American model. If you're like a person who thinks that we're oppressed, you know, by capitalism, it's like give people everything. Let people do LSD. Let people have orgies. They'll never revolt if they're totally well-fed and happy and distracted. That's the best way to be a dictator.
That's the Roman way.
Yeah, and that's part of the internet. The internet is like, there's so much good shit on Netflix streaming that, like, I'm not going to go to that demonstration. Fucking Breaking Bad season 6 started tonight. I want to watch it.
You know, if you turn a civilization into spectators, how are they going to resist, right? And I think that's probably why it's more of the right than the left. Well, I don't know. I'm not really going to generalize to that extent, because there's plenty of people on the left who are outdoorsy people who have weapons, who like to go outside and not be engaged in social media too. So I was about to make a generality, but I chose not. What's that?
Right-wing militias have a lot of arsenals. I don't know many lefties who even like guns. They hate guns.
Well, I know plenty of left people on the left who have weapons, but I wouldn't say there's a lot of left-wing militias out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Haven't heard of those, you know, where they're taking over a local Starbucks or something.
Part of being a Republican now.
Wait a minute. I mean, you have Antifa. You had the whole thing in Seattle where all those leftists took over a chunk of town. So Do they call themselves militias? No. But are they organized? Do they have guns? Are they trying to overthrow or take things over? Yeah. I mean, recent history.
No. Yeah, I was coming under the heading of like the anarchists that we had like in the early 1900s, which is kind of, I guess, around the same era to a certain extent. You know, it's, like that's why the FBI was formed, was to fight off the anarchists. And
but anarchists aren't well organized. Communists at the time. They're anarchists. Anarchists aren't that well organized because they're anarchists.
I know the old joke, but I'm just saying that there isn't really a lot of difference, in my opinion, between a right-wing militia and an unorganized but effective anarchist group.
That's called political protest. That's what it's called. It's like that's in the Constitution.
So is a militia, though.
No, they're not. They're like they're gaining guns and they're plotting against the government.
You're going to lose this argument, Greg.
No, there was the right-wing militia just recently that tried to kidnap a governor.
Yeah, that's horrible. That's horrible. There's been left-wing people that have done also equally horrible things.
No, in the 60s there were. You're right, the Weather Underground. They did
the Weather Underground, that was a left-wing.
But we're not there anymore, though. That's kind of dead. There's no one like that now.
Rose-colored glasses.
It's not rose-colored. I didn't like the Weather Underground either. I thought those guys were bad guys. They were just like, no, that's not the way to
do it. If you think bad guys left in the 60s, you've lost your marbles.
What?
So what about the group that took over that couple of blocks or whatever it was in Seattle? What are those?
Are you talking about 2002? What was it called?
No, I'm talking about like last year. No, this
talking
year.
About this past summer.
You mean this past summer? Too?
When they had the what was it called? The something zone. I can't remember.
Something
what it was
zone.
Called.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I can't remember. It was disenfranchised zone or something. I can't remember. It was something that was allowed by the local government, though. They let it happen.
No, they did. They were typical, you know, left-wing city people, liberals who went, well, let the kids play, you know.
But they're hover parents, helicopter parents, the helicopter.
So you guys governors. Don't think that political protest is okay?
But what you're changing?
No, that's not true, Greg.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
no. What he's saying is that the right-wing militias are also a form of political protest because they are.
Right.
Not necessarily one you're happy about, but they are.
They're building up arms to take. They write things about how they want to take over the government and kill the blacks and.
So the left-wing people want to talk about wanting to overthrow the government and institute. You know,
no, they talk about they want the government to take care of the poor better and like not like give to the 1% and. I am a lefty and none of my friends talk about like we got to bring down the government. They're just like, we want a government that gives a shit about 95% of Americans.
So we need to take them out.
Prisons. Huh?
So we need to take out the government because they're certainly not doing that.
None of my friends say that. My lefty Maoist friends say this. They're not building up arms so they can actually have a revolution. They're just saying we're going to protest and hopefully, which I think is a little naive, like they're going to listen and maybe we'll get more people like Bernie Sanders in who'll help the poor more instead of helping corporations. And I know you guys aren't big Bernie Sanders fans.
It's really about the guns.
It's not necessarily the guns. I mean, yeah. I mean, I know some left-leaning people who love shooting guns as a fun thing. Apparently it's fun as hell. I've never shot a gun. And I have friends in their 40s who are like, I shot a gun last week. I've always been against guns. It's so fucking thrilling. It's fun as hell.
I'm gonna tell you, shooting a gun is cool. It's fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I own a gun, and shooting a gun is fun. I haven't really messed around with my gun in a long time because I'm just too busy. But I used to go to the shooting range.
Yeah.
You can also rent different types of guns, and you know, you don't have to own a semi-automatic rifle. You can pay $30 and rent it for an hour and get your jollies off and move on.
I mean, we all grew up watching that shit and idolizing that shit in action movies. So, of course, at least dudes, we all want to do that shit. I mean, it's got to be in our DNA to, like, I want to shoot a fucking AK-47, just go, bah, 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 bah. You know what I want is that gun in Predator. Remember the gun in Predator that shot, like, 8,000 bullets a minute? Was it the burp gun? In Predator, the first one with Arnold. Oh my God, he's got this gun that just goes. It sounds like this. It sounds like. That's how fast he's shooting.
I think we may have lost Matt again.
No, I've been reading statistics about gun ownership.
Oh, okay. I was going to say he went frozen and didn't say a word. I'm like, uh-oh.
That's my uh-oh. my normal demeanor. I'm just... Where am I? Who am I? So I just wanted to see if there's like a statistic out there of Democrats.
Well, I know I'm right. So. You don't even have to check.
You're right about what?
Republicans have made it part of their platform since Reagan that the NRA is very crucial to the Republican Party. So
what was your point?
That their right wing people are more pro gun and have a lot more guns than we do. So if there is a civil war, my pinko side, we're fucked. We're dead. We'll have like our like katanas and like bow staffs and I don't know.
Throwing what stars too.
Yeah, throwing stars. We're ninjas.
They'll be easy rolled ninjas. Up magazines.
Yeah, my comic books. I'll be throwing at them.
You'll have some sort of, you know, manly woman out in front with pink hair, like.
Oh, I'll have those. What are they? A didgeridoo stick, maybe.
Didgeridoo.
Use as a staff.
A didgeridoo.
Oh, thank you. Didgeridoo.
You had me confused for a second. Like a didgeridoo. What is that? Oh,
I don't know.
I think that's a type of Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the one that Greg lives with. So
in my
four in 10 adults report that there's a gun in their household. With 3 in 10 saying they personally own a gun. And it's interesting that, it's definitely across lines. I mean, obviously the right wingers,
you didn't say if it was right wing or left. You said 4 in 10. I bet 90% of them are right leaning. Or
I'm going to give you another statistic that doesn't break that down. Northeasterners are the least likely to own guns. Only 16% of adults who live in the Northeast say they own a gun. About 36% say it in the South, 32% in the Midwest, and 31% in the West. Right. So, in terms of overall, 46 of Americans who live in rural parts of the country own a gun, compared with 28% of those who live in the suburbs and 19% of those in urban areas. So that shows that there's a significant population in urban areas. You know, that's like one of every five people own a gun in the city.
Yeah. Right?
So Republicans, Republican-leaning independents are more than twice as likely as Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents to say they own a gun. So that statistic is 44% versus 20%. And so there's your partisan demarcation line.
I'm actually surprised. I thought it would have been like 3-1, but
Well, 44 to 20, what happened to the other?
The other 40%?
They just don't care.
They don't own guns.
Well,
they're ninjas. They're throwing stars.
Oh, so 20%, let me just understand, 40% of the 100% are Republicans that own guns, and then 20%?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. So not every Republican owns a gun either. If you can believe that, Greg.
I do believe that. I know this is for a fact. Okay. I didn't claim that. I never claimed that.
Just wanted to clarify that aspect of it. You know, and in social media had nothing to do with me finding this out. This is just straight Google.
Yeah.
Google help. So
I'm curious, guys. This is kind of hypothetical, but if the internet somehow miraculously appeared in, like, I don't know, the 50s or 60s, do you think people would have been so susceptible to all the nuttiness of it? Like, I think part of it is that we've gotten dumber. Like, we talked about our Idiocracy episode. Education has been eroded definitely since, you know, Reagan, probably even before that. And I don't know. Is that a thing? Like,
if we had, like, the widespread social media in the 50s that we do now,
yeah, were we
dumb enough we would now? I think we would all be – we would all think that the Earth is flat.
That's a thing. Maybe people back then would have had
Well, people were more gullible back then, and they trusted the government back then, right? And they trusted their news sources more.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't trust them always, but they trusted them more. And there were less checks on corporate overlords as there are now. So they would have been truly fucked if this had come around back
then. I don't
know
if that's true, though. Corporations can do whatever the fuck they want now.
Yeah, I think if we'd had social media in the 50s, I don't think there would have been any superpower that would have kept dumb people back then from being dumb. In fact, I honestly think that they weren't any smarter. Smarter is not the right word. They weren't any more wise in the 50s than they are now. I think people are more wise than they were in the 50s, which kind of goes to Matt's point about being gullible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, you had the Rockefellers of that era who would have taken advantage of people, you know. That's who would have been in control of the media that was being driven out, you know.
What was
the name of the main publicist for the Rockefellers? They called him Poison Ivy was his nickname. I can't remember.
I don't know about this guy.
Oh, yeah, look him up sometime. But he was kind of like one of the first PR guys who was like a real public relations type person in that particular career. And he was the one who set about changing the reputation of the Rockefellers by just lying to people blatantly.
And that works. The big lie works, apparently.
You know, if you tell a big enough one and people go, well, they couldn't say something like that, wouldn't get away with it. You know, and I think that has been Trump's hallmark, his entire campaign, is he just tells the big lies. And it's like in that episode of, well, not episode, in the movie The Odd Couple, when they just throw the plate of spaghetti against the wall. You know, and you see what sticks up there. That's Trump's modus operandi, is I'm throwing the stuff against the wall. Whatever stays up there is the thing that I'll keep harping on and I'll keep making true. And social media is the thing that forces that to stay in place because people keep spouting it's true. I mean, I've got guys that I respect and who have been really helpful to me and kind to me and who are Republicans who are so pro-Trump it drives me mad.
Yeah.
You know? And they're still like hanging on to this final hope that there's going to be this vote that goes to the House of Representatives whenever they go to count the votes and someone's going to raise an objection. This is a whole new conspiracy theory being put out there of when that happens, the votes in the House of Representatives only go by state. And if they go just based upon a state vote, then Trump wins. Right? Then Trump is. And so this, we're not going to know these actual results till January 6th is now the new deadline from the right wing. Trump is actually going to be taking over his second term as president.
Yeah, I know it's sad, but I have friends like that too, and I you know, I was just talking to one the other day, and I hadn't talked to him in a while. I hadn't talked to him since before the election, and I'm like, so yeah, you know, this election, and he's like, yeah, your guy won, and I'm like, no, he didn't, and so fine.
I didn't get to vote on my guy.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. So your guy didn't win. My guy didn't win. Here we are.
I've never had my guy win in my life.
No, me neither.
Not even close. Yeah, nobody does. That's the sad thing about America. Nobody gets
you know what? I was a bit of an Obama fanboy first go round, and my guy did win. So I did get that. But that's probably the only time.
He betrayed my trust a few times, too many times. I still think he's great. Compared to
that's
presidents.
Fair. I'm just saying that first campaign, I was in. By the second one, I was like, but
well,
you know, what
even white
do?
Supremacists voted for Obama.
Yeah.
What?
I said even white supremacists.
I heard you,
voted
but
for Obama.
I said, huh?
I remember a very distinct quote from a guy that I saw on TV using the N-word. He goes, "Oh, I'm going to vote for the N-word." I'm like, what? I'm like, what is this world? What is this world I'm living in?
Right.
I'm like, how can you even feel comfortable saying that? I used to live with a guy who liked to use that word, and I would call him a racist every time he did it. And he was like, well, it was the way I was raised, because he was like an old guy. And I'm like, listen, you know, I'm like, my dad is the same age as you, and he grew up in a state right above yours in the South. And I've never heard that word come out of his mouth. I said, so what you're telling me is utter bullshit. You know, like,
yeah, I was raised to poop to change in a diaper, ways. But I grew out of it. You know, I was raised to take a shit in a diaper, but I learned how to use the toilet.
Until you're 18?
Yeah. And then when I was 18, I figured it out.
You figured by 18, it's time to stop wearing the diapers, Greg.
Exactly.
Were you still breastfeeding at that age too?
It's yeah, about then. It's no excuse. That's the way I was raised.
Were all of your siblings raised that way too? They all wore diapers till they were 18, and
no, it was just me. I'm wearing diapers. I'm the dumb one. I was the runt of the litter, the mental runt.
Power to your mother that she can keep producing breast milk until 18.
No, well, if you keep suckling,
they don't build them that way anymore, man. You should respect that woman. That doesn't happen anymore.
I was like the last emperor,
straight out of Game of Thrones.
They're just dry husks after a little while, just blowing dust.
Greg was able to just subsist off of the breast dust that he was living.
The breast dust.
Maybe she put a little tablespoon of water in his mouth, then put him on. And
that's
got
right.
The
I think at that point
and...
it's like powder, right? It's milk powder.
Yeah.
So he just mixes like... with his saliva and becomes milk.
It's like, see, if I was a normal person, I'd be so offended right now. But I'm just laughing.
If you're a normal person,
I belong in this law firm. I'd be like, what did you say about my mother? Take that back. Matt, okay, when we first landed this client, you mentioned something, which, of course, I didn't research like I was supposed to. Uh-huh. But apparently Facebook got a huge lawsuit against it last week.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Could you tell us about that?
Well, if I hadn't forgotten about it. But hey, you know, there's this
I'm glad
thing.
You forgot about it, too.
Well, while you're doing that, as a part of that same conversation, I did pull it up like 2 seconds ago. I was going to talk about YouTube and the hypocrisy of YouTube, because I left Facebook, I guess now about 4 months ago, and I haven't gotten back. But YouTube, I'm still pretty addicted to YouTube. But YouTube said that on Wednesday of a week ago, 2 weeks ago,
coming last
December 9th, that they would start removing any content alleging widespread voter fraud influenced the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. And so they started pulling off people who had YouTube videos up that were talking about whatever, they didn't believe the election was rigged, whatever, you know, data about, you know, how it was rigged. My mother-in-law watched one of these videos and she sent it to me. She's like, you should look at this. And so I looked at like, I don't know, 10 minutes of it, went whatever. But YouTube started removing those. And the problem with this kind of stuff is it fuels the fire of the conspiracy theorists who would go, now, wait a minute. You're telling me that YouTube is going to pull off videos that talk about the fact that this election was rigged. And there's a lot of people that are talking about that. And yet I can go and search for a video about how I identify as a wolf and the flat earth people.
Wait, you identify as a wolf?
I don't. But I'm saying there are videos out there. There's a whole community of people who identify as animals.
Oh.
You can look up videos where Japanese schoolgirls get fucked in every orifice. I mean, that's the thing.
That's not on YouTube.
And I do.
Greg, slow down. We're on talking about YouTube.
I was telling you on YouTube, I can find that, but I can't find someone's weird opinion about how the election's a fraud. I'm agreeing with you how nutty that is.
Exactly. The flat earth people, that's inherently obviously false information, but they're allowed to post.
Yeah.
So it seems politically motivated. And I don't know that it isn't.
Well, I want to know what animal that Greg would identify with if he was going to identify as an animal.
A manatee.
A sea cow.
Yeah, because I'm very unattractive and lumpy, and I just loll about.
I was thinking naked mole rat. That was what I was thinking.
That's a little too lean for me.
You wouldn't go for that. How about you, Brendan? Which animal, if you were to identify as an animal, which one would yours be?
I think a beaver.
A beaver, okay.
Why?
So that's kind of funny because you – Greg picked an animal that's like off the coast of Florida, and you picked an animal that's well known here in Oregon.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you're both in those states. It's quite interesting. I can't think of an animal for myself, though.
So, Matt, before you even talk about the Facebook lawsuit. I would like, actually, I think more interesting.
You need to learn how to breed, bro.
Last night, Matt was telling me about why he was kicked off. What was it, Matt? Facebook?
Well, yeah. Well, what happened was my account was locked, and I tried to find a workaround regarding it, and I somehow completely locked myself out of my Facebook account forever, and I had to start a new one, and which is part of the workaround. So, like,
but
all the photos.
Because you were talking about what?
I was talking about Trump wanting to start a civil war, and that was because of my mind is lost for a second. Because he's always like, he's always saying that he's more popular than Lincoln. And I was like, well, the only way he could be considered more popular than Lincoln would be if he were to take the country out of a civil war. So in order to do that, he would have to start that civil war so that he could then rescue the country and then be considered more popular than Lincoln. And then after that post, my account was shut down.
Can you believe that, Brendan?
I can't.
Matt just had an opinion, and he was locked out.
But I don't think it was Facebook that did it specifically for my opinion. I think they did it because other people may have reported it for me being like I'm inciting violence or something like that.
But my question is, Matt, when that happened, did Facebook provide you any information as to why you were locked out? Like,
no.
They didn't like send you even a vague bullshit email about you violated our community guidelines?
Well, I think that was – it was all really confusing at the time because I was trying to find – because I didn't know what had happened, right? I didn't know why I couldn't access my account anymore. So I didn't get a message like that until I started trying to figure out how do I get back into it. And I didn't realize that I had been locked out for some reason like that because I wouldn't have thought – I mean, I've said so many worse things on Facebook before that.
We
so it wouldn't
have.
Make any sense to me that, like, that would be the thing that would shut me down. But I think
that was it.
It was a very, you know, rancorous time, and that was probably what may have caused some of my right-wing friends to go, report him. Report him for saying Civil War. We don't want anybody to know we're planning that.
They don't even look into what you wrote and just agree with these people. Oh, they say he should be shut down. He's shut down.
No, they don't, because it's done more of as an automatic thing. I don't think they review these things really unless you make a huge stink about it. You know, But I've been shut out for posting in groups for like the last 2 months. I can't even do that.
Well, that's just the group though, right? The group is shutting you out.
Any groups. No, I can't post in any groups
because
that I belong
Facebook
to.
Incorporated.
Oh, so the default is on off relative to posting on groups?
For this newer issue. So the other thing I was kicked out entirely, that like that whole account was shut down, like all of my pictures the last 10 years gone, can't access them ever again, just done, you know. And hopefully I've got them saved somewhere because it's like kids photos and stuff like that, which sucks that they're gone. But you know, I'm like, what are you gonna do, you know? 300 years ago nobody even had a camera anyway. So and then this recent one I think was because I was spamming groups with I was spamming like podcast groups with links to our podcast. And I think that's what shut me out there was the use of the links as opposed to just talking about it. But there was nothing specific. And it was just like, you cannot post anything in a group until December 19th. So 3 more days, I get to get myself kicked off again from Facebook.
Wow. Because you're going to talk you're going to talk about it immediately.
It's going to go right back into spam of the links.
It's a civil war.
I had a client, I haven't personally, but I had a client that I was working with that happened. We were aggressively marketing. And we got shut down. The whole account got shut down. Specifically our advertising, which I found was weird. Like, they didn't even want our money. And but we did get an email that said, you violated our community guidelines. And I went back and forth and back and forth with Facebook trying to understand what aspect. I've read the whole thing, which thing did I violate?
Yeah.
And
you never get
it.
Did you ever get an answer?
No,
there's nobody. I mean, I was able to find a phone number for Facebook corporate, and I was able to find an answering machine within Facebook corporate, and I left a couple of messages and I never got any response, but it took some digging to find that phone number.
You know what that answering machine
have,
is,
they don't
Matt?
Have, they don't have any customer service.
Matt,
at
you
all.
Know what that answering machine is? It's in that warehouse at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's a little answering machine
right next to the Ark.
Yes, in this giant warehouse where nobody's there. That's
where they keep the piece of Mark Zuckerberg's soul is in one of those little crates.
In an urn.
Right.
Because he's not using it right now. So
what I had to do was I had to contact a friend of mine who worked at a much, much larger agency who commanded, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of Facebook spending. And I said, hey, you must have a direct line to these dipshits, right? And it's like, yeah, sure. I have a, you know, private account rep and I call them on the phone at night. It doesn't matter. I'm like, good. Tell him you've got a friend and ask him this question. That's how I finally got some kind of answer, but it was still kind of bullshit.
Was it resolved?
Did you over get your... time, over time it was resolved. It took about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So he had to pull some strings. But yeah. For the common man who doesn't have access, the guys who are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on Facebook, you're basically out of luck. Yes.
Yeah, Matt, you're very common. You're a very common man.
I am. I am like everybody else, Greg. My thoughts are the same as most people, as you can attest. I don't come up with anything strange or weird.
No.
I'm a common man who's worked very hard to maintain uncommon connections.
I want some of those.
On both the high end and the low end.
Yeah, I tossed away like all of my connections with my last Facebook account, basically. It's like I had a lot of people I was friends with, and then I can't get back in with them because they've got too many friends now.
Because you had an opinion.
Yeah, you know, I'm working on an idea and a draft for a book, a nonfiction book about this very subject, which is this digital black hole that we're creating. In that, like, you potentially lost all those photos because you'd uploaded them to Facebook, and through no fault of your own, honestly, you lost them. Yeah. Or,
well, you know, I have to accept some blame for it.
Well, I'm not saying you're blameless, but there's no easy integration between all these platforms. So you've got certain, you know, of your photos on iCloud, and then you got some on Facebook, and then you got some on your phone, and then you uploaded some to Google or whatever, and there's no easy way. These guys make it fucking virtually impossible to just consolidate all your images onto a single platform.
Yeah, isn't that Instagram? Isn't that the place where people do that?
Do what?
Put all their images on Instagram or Pinterest.
Yeah, a lot of people do, but let's say your Instagram thing got shut down or you lost your whatever. Those images are gone. What happened was, going back to MySpace just basically back in the 90s was mostly for bands. Like, it was a place where, like, small indie bands, like, promoted their band. And it was, like, really a music thing for a while.
You know, in the 90s? Was MySpace that popular in the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I thought they went to bands after Facebook, like, stomped on them.
No, they were doing bands prior to Facebook.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Do you guys still get MySpace messages every now and then? I still, and it's always, like, some sexy woman who's basically, like, a prostitute. Yes, I'm. No. Every now and then I get a MySpace thing and it's this gorgeous woman like, hey, I really liked your profile. It's so weird. It's like this echo from the past. It's like, I didn't even think MySpace existed, but it still does.
Yeah, I've got the data on that Facebook trust suit. So
let me just finish this one point.
Yeah,
on
go
the,
for it.
The MySpace thing. So what happened with MySpace is they had all of those bands, MP3s loaded up and available on their MySpace accounts. And MySpace just fucked the pooch and didn't do backups and whatever. And there are like literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of original music that were uploaded there that are gone forever.
Wow.
Probably millions.
Do you think the Wayback Machine still has an archive of any of that?
No, Wayback Machine doesn't even begin to cover that.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
What about the dark web?
Well, the dark web is just stuff you can't really search that well.
That's just where you buy drugs with Bitcoin.
Right, or hire assassins.
or hire a hitman or watch really nasty porn.
Right, stuff that would put you in jail. That's basically what the dark web is about.
Yeah. Donkey
or
shows.
Finding bootleg karaoke tracks, because I know people who do that. Yeah, so this is what Facebook was accused of. So the Federal Trade Commission and the states that are going up against Facebook accused Facebook of abusing its dominance in the digital marketplace and engaging in anti-competitive behavior. So this is from the director of the FTC's Bureau of Competition. He says, Facebook's actions to entrench and maintain its monopoly deny consumers the benefits of competition. Our aim is to roll back Facebook's anti-competitive conduct and restore competition so that innovation and free competition can thrive. So what the government regulators want, they're specifically calling for two of the biggest apps in Facebook's social media empire to be spun off into separate companies, which would be Facebook, which would be Instagram and WhatsApp. So they want to break those three things into different organizations. Mm. So it's kind of like when the Ma Bell was broken up into all the Baby Bells, you know, and now we have Verizon, which is, I think, is the latest incarnation of Ma Bell. Or is that AT&T? I'm actually confused now. I don't remember.
I think it's AT&T.
Remember who became
what other big apps does Facebook own? Do they own like all the big apps? Do they own Google or something?
No. Google's not an app, really, Greg.
I thought it was an app, a search engine app.
Google is a search engine, but it's not, oh, an app.
Okay.
An app is more like an application, the thing you put on your phone, you can click on it.
Well, Google's, I have a Google
mean, technically, app. Technically, all of these things are apps as well as, you know, website destinations. Just let's keep in mind that Greg's worldview of technology is all through his phone, so everything is an app to Greg.
I'm well, still
I don't,
app
I don't have a I'm button that I tap on for Google. Google, I like type in, but
oh, I have the I downloaded the Google app. It's pretty cool.
I mean, Google Chrome.
No, like a Google.
Chrome would be the browser is kind of sort of
right. Like, I have on my phone. I have the Chrome app, but I also downloaded the Google app.
What is the Google? I mean, there's Google Play. There's Google. There's a lot of Google things. There's Google Drive.
You just push. You push one button and it takes you directly to the search engine.
Oh, interesting. Oh, see, I just have on my phone, I just have the little search bar. So I just type stuff into Google right there. And there's no app that I have to do anything with other than just hit search. You know?
I have the same thing, except instead of the search bar, I hit a little button.
Yeah, but well, I guess that could be considered an app. But I mean, I've got Chrome on there too. So anyway, but I guess anything is an application. So that's the basic thing that's going on, and will it make a difference to Facebook? I don't know. Facebook doesn't. Facebook is not happy about it. Their vice president and general counsel is criticizing their scrutiny of those deals, saying that they cleared those acquisitions years ago. It says the government now wants a do-over, sending a chilling warning to American business that no sale is ever final.
Oh, heaven forbid that the zillionaires might just be billionaires. Oh, what a crime against capitalism.
I mean, from a legal perspective, he has a point. But
yeah, sure.
My thing is, that's the least of Google's Facebook's worries.
Yeah.
That they have to spin off and own whatever a non-majority part of those two apps. Breaking up Facebook in a completely different way or regulating the fucking living shit out of them is a way bigger problem for them than losing Instagram to a certain extent.
Well, I think the media in general, like news organizations, are regulated to a certain degree. There are certain checks and balances that are there. The difference with social media is because the general public creates a lot of the content on, 90% of the content on social media. So it's really hard to regulate what individuals can say or can't say in that forum. I think Facebook's biggest problem, just from my personal issues, is just like having no one to communicate with. You know, whenever I was trying to get my account back up, I wound up in this vicious circle of answering the same question every time I got to one point. I'd be like, I'd go through a couple of different hoops and I wound up back where I started. And they would say, did this help you? And I go, no. And they go, you're basically out of luck. Go away. You know,
right.
Or what do you want for free? And, you know, I have two minds about it. I'm like, okay, so it's a private organization. They're entitled to run their model any way they want. They really are. They're allowed to. You know, that's their business. I would hate for somebody to go into my business and go, you have to run it this way. I'd say, fuck you. You know, the difference is that they've created themselves into an institution, kind of like the internet did, and where it became this place of such social interaction, it's become almost a public service to a certain extent. And I think that's what Facebook really has to take a look at is, could they get themselves pulled out of being a private company and into becoming a government entity, which would be a whole different ball of wax. And that could go
in a very different direction.
Right. And, you know, in terms of the U.S., it's one thing, but in Myanmar, when people got their phones in that country, Facebook was the internet to them. The way that Facebook arranged its relationships with the phone companies or whatever they did contractually, when you got your phone, you hit Facebook and Facebook was the internet. It was like Facebook was Google there. And that led to untold amount of human suffering and Nazi Buddhists and all kinds of crazy shit.
Well, yeah, so they kicked out like an entire Muslim contingent from their country. But, you know, that's not an unheard of thing to have had happened in human history. I mean, just in the last 30, 40 years, with the whole issue in Rwanda with the Hutus and the Tutsis, that was all caused because of radio. Radio created that genocide, right? So media is certainly a factor in forwarding propaganda. And whenever you have,
but if you had the internet, then it would have accelerated. They would have killed each other.
What I'm saying is, Matt, is that these are issues that Facebook doesn't want somebody to bring up in Congress or in the Senate. Like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, we let's talk about what arrangement did you have with these companies to be the only source of the information, the internet in this country.
Oh, because that would certainly show a trust violation.
Correct.
Definitely. Yeah.
Right.
Got it. Well, I think we've definitely could go on with this subject with this client for a long time, and this client could probably pay us a bigger retainer, you know, but
yes, for sure.
But I think at this stage, we, I think we've gotten a lot of this all very much uncovered to a certain degree. I don't know how funny this episode was. We had some couple of moments here and there. You know, we could have spent more time discussing what Zuckerberg's actual complexion looks like, because we were talking about vampires earlier. And I think if anybody is one, it's Zuckerberg. But next week is the week of one very important holiday to a certain contingent of people in this country. And so we'll be doing our holiday show next week. But our holiday show is not going to be a typical holiday show. It will be the Law Offices of Quibble, Squall, and Bicker, Squabble and Bicker holiday show.
You're talking about Hanukkah, right?
No, Arbor Day. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. That's you're off there.
Oh, that's
are we
right,
gonna are we gonna day. Do it? Are we gonna do it kind of like a variety show where we do various like songs and?
Yes, come stories. Prepared for your with your favorite song and to sing every other word in it.
Silent night.
I said every other word, Greg.
Oh, like I was thinking of doing kind of a Lake Wobegon kind of, you know, story of Christmas in my youth.
If you have something of a creative nature that you want to express, Brendan, I say bring it. And however you choose to do it, the days of your youth spent slinging mud at people, whatever it happens to be.
Well, remember the time when you were a kid and you licked a frozen vagina and your tongue was stuck to it?
Because
it was frozen?
I think on that note, we should probably just say thanks, Maria.
Thanks, Maria!
This has been the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker Computer Telecast, where any advice has been designed purely for amusement and deep-sea diving. Please take a candy on your way out, pet the lion tamer, and subscribe to this computer telecast if you know it's good for you. The Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker deny all culpability in today's events and are not to be confused with real law offices that have a secretary and books and stuff. Thank you all. Have a good day.